much. We are going to call our March Planning Council meeting to order. Mayor Harden, will you please lead us in the pledge?
Absolutely.
I pledge allegiance to the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
Morning, Tommy.
Please call the roll.
Mr. Brian Blackwelder? Mr. Robert Breslow?
I'm here.
Mayor Felicia Brunson?
Here.
Commissioner Angelo Castillo?
Here.
Ms. Denise Fernandez?
Here.
Mayor Michelle Gomez?
Good morning.
Ms. Ryan Greenberg?
Present.
Mayor Rex Harden?
Here.
Mayor, Mr. Easton Harrison? Councilmember Denise Appleby Horland?
Here.
Mayor Josh Levy? Commissioner Bernie Parnas?
Here.
Vice Mayor Nan Rich?
Here.
Mr. David Rosenoff?
Here.
Mayor Michael Ryan? School Board Member Dr. Alan Zeman?
I'm here.
Mr. Thomas DeGiorgio?
I am here. Thank you. Now for the fun time, oath of office. Ms. Greenberg, please follow me. Ms. Blake Boyd, just for the record, if Mr. Easton happens to get on the line, we'll do an oath of office as you.
Okay, great. I'm going to text him and see.
Excellent. Please raise your right hand and repeat after me. I do solemnly swear that I, repeat after me. That's okay. I do solemnly swear that I will support, protect, and defend the Constitution and government of the United States and the state of Florida.
I do solemnly swear that I will support, protect, and defend the Constitution and government of the United States and the state of Florida.
That I am duly qualified to hold office under the Constitution of the state and the Charter of Broward County.
That I am duly qualified to hold office under the Constitution of the state and the Charter of Broward County.
And that I will well and faithfully perform the duties of a member of the Broward County Planning Council, which I am now about to enter. So help me God.
And that I will well and faithfully perform the duties of a member of the Broward County Planning Council, on which I'm about to enter. So help me God.
Welcome aboard. Take your time, everybody.
Okay.
All right, bye.
All right, stay right here. Welcome. Stay right here for just a moment.
Not for the stick. So I said when I came down, this is my favorite time, is when I get to welcome somebody into the Planning Council. And this is the part I don't like, when we get to say goodbye to somebody. So today, after service, several different stints here at the Planning Council, Bernie Parnas is going to have his last meeting. He is resigning from the council. Bernie, you served from 2015 to 2017. And then you came back on in 2021. And we sure appreciate everything you've done. I went over and talked to Bernie a second ago and said, so you're going to take some time off, take a little bit of time. He said, oh, absolutely not. I'm now being asked to be the president of the Century Village Homeowner Association. I'm going to concentrate a little bit more on Deerfield Beach. So for what you've done throughout your whole career in Deerfield and Broward County, we absolutely appreciate your service. And in honor of that, we went out and got bagels and coffee today because Bernie's been asking this forever. And bigger deal, the $20 that Bernie put in for the bagels and coffee, we're giving it back.
One more picture. No, I'm predicting another rematch.
Jim, DiGiorgio.
Yes.
Could I just, I'd like to, I'm sorry that I couldn't be there today, but I just wanted to personally welcome Ryan Greenberg. She is my new appointee, and I think, I know she's going to do an outstanding job. She cares tremendously about this community and has been very involved in so many areas and issues. So I just want to welcome her, and I didn't know that this was Bernie's last meeting, so I also just want to thank him. I've worked with him for years on different areas, and he's so committed to this community and particularly to his community up in the Deerfield Beach and the Century Village. So just want to also say, Bernie, thank you for all of your efforts on behalf of people of Broward.
Thank you, Senator Rich.
I just want to interrupt for 1 second. It's Barbara speaking. I just heard from Mr. Harrison, the new member, and he can't find the Zoom link. He was supposed to be here in person. So let me send that to him. So just bear with me while you proceed.
Okay. Thank you very much. Let us know if we have him on the line. And after that item, whatever we're discussing, we'll do an oath of office. And I can actually do it from right here. Excellent. Ms. Greenberg, I'm going to give the floor to you just for a second and just tell us a little bit about yourself, new member. Or just say anything.
Well, first off, I want to thank Commissioner Nan Rich for the appointment. I really appreciate your faith in me, and I do expect to work hard, be here in person to work with all the staff, and excited to work with someone from my hometown, Pembroke Pines, Commissioner Angela Castillo, and I'm familiar with several of the board members up here. I'm sure we'll work well together. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Welcome aboard. Okay. Consent agenda. Ms. Blake Boy.
I just would like to add, Mayor Ryan sent an excused absence request late last night as he is traveling today. So he is added to Mayor Levy's request for the excused absence.
Excellent. And have you heard from Mr. Blackwelder?
I have not heard from Mr. Blackwelder, but Mr. Harrison just joined us on the Zoom link. I just saw him pop up.
Excellent. Mr. Harrison, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning. Welcome.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
I'm going to read the oath of office. This is perfect timing. I'm going to say a sentence and then you repeat it after me. We'll do the oath over Zoom. This is the first one for me, but give it a shot.
Hey, let's try it. Thanks.
Please repeat after me. Raise your right hand. I do solemnly swear that I will support, protect, and defend the Constitution and government of the United States and the state of Florida.
I'm sorry, could you repeat that for me? You're going in and out. There we go. I see it on the screen. Okay. I do solemnly swear that I will support, protect, and defend the Constitution and government of the United States and of the state of Florida.
That I am duly qualified to hold office under the Constitution of the state and the Charter of Broward County.
That I am duly qualified to hold office under the Constitution of the State and the Charter of Broward County.
And that I will well and faithfully perform the duties of a member of the Broward County Planning Council on which I am now about to enter, so help me God.
And that I will well and faithfully perform the duties of a member of the Broward County Planning Council on which I am now about to enter, so help me God.
Mr. Harrison, welcome aboard.
Thank you, I appreciate it.
Mr. Harrison, I just put Ms. Greenberg on the spot, so I'm going to put you on the spot too. Any thoughts or anything you want to share about yourself as we move forward?
Well, I'll be real brief. First of all, thank you all so much for having me here. I'm excited to be a part of this. Little bit background about myself. I work as a community organizer. I'm very passionate about involving the community and essentially bridging the gap between community and government. I was appointed by newly elected Commissioner Hazel Rogers, and I look forward to representing that commission district, but also Broward County on a whole with the strategic plan. So I'm happy to be here.
Welcome aboard, Mr. Harrison.
Thank you.
Excellent. Okay, consent agenda. I just asked about Mr. Blackwelder.
I haven't heard from him, but if the council wants to grant him excuse absence,
I would like
it
that.
To you.
Okay. Any items that need to be pulled from the consent agenda? Here and now, I'll entertain a motion.
Second.
We have a motion from Commissioner Castillo, a second from Mayor Brunson. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion passes unanimously. Ms. Blake Boy.
Thank you. Item R1 on the agenda is a local planning agency review to update the county's code of ordinances. The land development code related to this related to the surtax and surtax funding. So this code ordinance update provides that Broward County has jurisdiction over any conflicting local municipal ordinance when surtax funding transportation improvements are located only on county owned or county leased properties. The county attorney's office has worked with the local governments over the past year to prepare this ordinance, and the version that you see before you has is the result of many comments from the various city attorneys in coordination with the county attorney's office. The combined committees made a recommendation to find the code change consistent with the Broward County land use plan, because that is your role in an LPA review for an update to the code. And that vote was 5-1 to recommend that. Renee Harrod from the county attorney's office is here if you have any specific questions about the code change.
Any discussion on this code change? I'll entertain a motion.
Second.
We have a motion to approve from Mayor Hardin, second by Commissioner Parnas. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed?
No.
Motion passes. Thank you. Item R2. Important report, Andy. Important. This is a very important report.
Yes. Normally, which is, I know it's always one of the highlights of the year for the Planning Council in April, I talk about the latest the damage assessment from the legislative session. We're not likely to have an April meeting, so I just want to talk about a couple of the land use items that are going through the process for everyone to keep an eye on. In May, I'll be happy to we'll have our assessment at that point in time. One of them, there's a large bill which has a lot of very good features on affordable housing. Seeks to obviously provide this financing issues and things of that sort. A couple of land use issues are implemented in there, and just an interesting decision was made to, as you recall, in the last few sessions, the legislature provided that local governments could just move ahead with affordable housing, approve them projects in all categories without changing the comprehensive plan. The idea was make it more, you know, a more direct method and cut the red tape and let's do what we can to get those online. The legislation, Senate Bill 102, that's moving forward, the last draft that I reviewed, removes local government's ability to approve affordable housing on residential parcels by bypassing the state and local law as a comprehensive planning process. Not another, you know, it's still effective in commercial and industrial, but they have taken, you know, and remember, this is residential development, so they decided to just eliminate municipalities' ability to take the shorter, more direct method on residential property. So it's something that is causing a lot of discussion and debate, but that's in the bill. It also preempts local government's requirements regarding zoning and density and height to allow for a streamlined development, affordable housing, and commercial and mixed-use developments, which is pretty aggressive right there, because in a number of cases, what they're saying is that if you're going to take that route and use what the bill offers, the height requirement, that no matter what the code says about height requirements, you can go higher. You go higher up to the highest allowed within a mile, I think it says. And no matter what the density requirements on your plan, you can go denser. You can go to the maximum provided anywhere in your city.
In the city.
Mm-hmm. You always have to look down the right. As someone who's represented government all my life, I always say, okay, what does that allow us to do? But from the perspective, you always have to look at the perspective of applicants, landowners, property owners who come before you and say, what ammunition does that give them in challenges and things of that sort when they provide these things, especially when we are a very property rights oriented state. We have a special statute on property rights and things of that sort. So it's something that's interesting, and then we're all going to have to deal with. So that legislation is moving through. It's a mixed bag. Well, it depends upon where you stand, whether it's a mixed bag.
Not exactly.
And there are always two sides to these issues. Another bill on land use, which just caught my eye because it deals with comprehensive planning, which obviously what we do. The legislature has decided, I thought this was curious, and they decided to change some of their definitions, which is always good to do, is to review your definition and see what you're doing. And so one of the definitions they decided to change was the definition of an urban when we're talking about urban sprawl, that's something which the comprehensive plans are meant to avoid. It's a bad thing, something you don't want to do. So what the legislature did in amending the definition is, there was a long definition which was not the best, but they just have now defined it as uncontrolled development.
This sounds like it was a task given to preschoolers.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. Urban sprawl. And let me give you the exact definition. It used to be, the definition used to be, it means an unplanned, uncontrolled development pattern characterized by low density. See, they're attempting to flesh it out. This is what lawyers try to do. You try to give some bounds. Automobile-dependent development with either single or multiple uses that are not functionally related. So, and it goes on. So it attempts to, you know, put some meat on that bone. They decided those extra words that you could figure it out on your own. So the new definition is, urban sprawl means an unplanned and uncontrolled development pattern. So good luck. Another thing which bothers me more than bothers most people, the whole comprehensive planning process that was adopted in 1987, 1988 here, which actually put Florida in the forefront, was marked by a concept called concurrency, meaning the infrastructure had to be available at the time of the development. And and so you could deny development permits based upon that. Now, the language says that if you don't meet the level of service standards, it says the public facilities must meet and exceed the standards established in your comprehensive plan, your level of service standards. And you can deny an application that does not meet that. But then not content to just leave that the way it is, because it's understandable, the following sentence was put in: levels of service established in a comprehensive plan solely for planning purposes may not be the basis for the denial of a development order or permit. Now, as a developer, this gives you, now they're going to say, well, no, if it's solely for planning purposes, you can't deny it. Well, if it says it's solely for planning purposes, you don't have to say anything else. It's solely for planning purposes, not for the purposes of denial. They added this language in. I don't think it's helpful. As a municipality or a government agency, you're always in a situation where your actions could be attacked by very smart people who are looking for words that can be used against you. Well, they just added some words that we'll have to see how that plays out. So that's some of the legislation, you know, that caught my eye the most as far as a macro comprehensive planning point. And we'll just see where it goes, and we'll see you in May with the results.
Thank you, Andy.
Mr. Chair, could I add something to this?
You may. Senator Rich.
Yeah, thank you. So I just want to say I've been working with Senator Pastorno for over a year. And, you know, this affordable housing bill is going. It's just the way it is. We tried to make a couple of changes, asked for amendments, and nothing substantive was being accepted. So one of the things that we wanted was to change the formula for the 1992 Sadowski Act, which sets up a situation where monies, and especially since so much more money is going to be coming in as a result of this to SHIP. We wanted to change that formula, which today requires a minimum 65% of anything that is distributed by the Florida Housing Finance Corporation has to go to single family. And in places like Broward, that is impossible. We are built out, and there are multiple counties that share the same issue and the same problem we have. So we had asked for the flexibility to go to a 50-50 split with multifamily and single family, but that, you know, was not included. But you know, all in all, I just want to say that there are some good things in this bill, you know, sometimes you have to take the good with the bad, and this bill does, you know, provide, as I said, a lot of additional money. It provides some flexibility. Some of the things that we're doing to entice developers to come in and do affordable housing projects, developments, they're now having this bill, which has to do with low-cost interest loans. And we do actually a no-interest loan for when we do this. It's a 30-year payout. And they're also going, you know, for the 30 years and so forth. So, as I said, this bill is, it's going to go the way it is, and there's not much, you know, that we can do about that. There's one other bill that I want to mention to people, and if anybody feels the urge to contact legislators, there is a bill. The Senate bill is Senate Bill 346 by a senator by the name of DeCiglie, D-I-C-E-G-L-I-E. This is an anti-local preference bill. And in essence, what it does is kill basically our small business local preference program, which is really terrible. We have a lot of people working on it. There seems to be some indication that there are senators on both sides of the aisle here. We know that you know, on one side there are, but there are senators on the other side of the aisle that don't like this preemption. They like a lot of preemptions, but don't seem to like this one. And this one would require that we could not use our local preference program even with our own money. Now, you know, that is just unconscionable as far as we're concerned. I mean, this is these are our tax dollars. This is our money, and we should be able to use it to enhance our small business program, you know, our CBEs. The other thing it does is it doesn't allow us to even use our living wage. We have a $17.17 living wage for contracted people. When we do contracts like security guards and, you know, all other kinds of things, and we would have to use the state wage, which we believe at this time is going to end up being about $11. And in the middle of an affordable housing crisis crunch and a rent crunch, it's just ridiculous to have something like this. So there's a real big push to get them to pull that off, the requirement that it has to go for your local dollars as well as any state dollars that you might be using on a contract. So that's the bill, Senate Bill 346.
Thank you for bringing that to our attention, Senator. Any other discussion or questions for Andy? Thank you, Ms. Morotis. Ms. Blakeboy.
Hi, good morning. Thank you. First, I just want to welcome the new members, Ms. Greenberg and Mr. Harrison, and look forward to working with you both. And hopefully, just know that staff is always here to assist you whenever you need it. And farewell to Commissioner Parnas. He's always been very vocal and fun member. So we'll definitely miss your personality and your input. So I know we'll see you around Deerfield Beach, but just want to say thank you for your service.
I will also miss his $20 in the bagel.
Right, especially since we returned it. just a couple other items before we get to the workshop discussion, which is we had a discussion at the committee meeting about the April meeting date. We have no public hearing items for that meeting. Generally, the council reviews and approves the next fiscal year budget at that meeting, but that's really just taking the core budget and we package it. It's like an annual report that we present to the council. So there was no objection to the planning council staff filing that by the deadline, the end of April, with the Office of Management and Budget, and then putting that on your May agenda for your consideration, just really of the annual report and information. So if there's no objection to proceeding in that manner, then I would say that you can cancel your April meeting without objection.
The committee meeting prior to this voted unanimously to support canceling the April meeting and just reporting back as an annual report in May. Any objection? Without objection, we move on.
Thank you. So your next meeting will be May 25th. And there will definitely be public hearing items on that agenda.
Excellent.
The item that you have before you, item R3, that you have the memo, that's related to the workshop that we had discussed at the January meeting. So I prepared this memo just to put in front of the committees and get some feedback. And so what I'd like to report is the feedback that I received and then kind of what our plan is to actually set up a workshop. So there were no additions to the topics that are listed in this memo. And what I'd like to do is send out a survey so that we can rank the topics. The committees have recommended a half-day format. So I would send out the topics so that I would know what your greatest interest is and then organize any staff or anyone that we need to invite separately. Find a location, maybe at a county park, maybe a meeting room there, set up for a half day. The also preferred timing right now, as of this discussion, was the July meeting date, because generally that meeting is canceled and most people do set aside the fourth Thursday of the month for the planning council. If I get feedback that there's not enough people, then we would have to move forward from then to identify a meeting date. I would do another survey at that time to find the preferred date and time. So that was the discussion this morning, and that's how we'll proceed from staff side. So you can anticipate receiving a survey or some questions next week to respond to.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any additional correspondence? Any other?
There's no additional correspondence. I do just want to let you know that there are four public hearing agenda items today. Three of those are recertifications of local plans. Planning Council staff recommends approval of all four items that are on agenda, including item PH4, which is a land use plan amendment in the city of Fort Lauderdale. There is the quasi-judicial proceeding is waived by the city for item PH1. And I would just say about item PH4, the land use plan amendment in the city of Fort Lauderdale, it's only people are only here for questions only. And also there is an affordable housing set aside that came in and was filed with the land use plan amendment. It's located off of Cypress Creek, generally located off Cypress Creek Road in I-95. If you want any additional information or discussion, otherwise staff has recommended approval of items PH1, 2, and 3, and 4 with the condition of the affordable housing and the development limitation.
Mr. Chair.
Commissioner Castillo. I'd like to move items one through four, as indicated by the executive director.
Second.
We have a motion by Commissioner Castillo, a second by Mayor Harden to approve, as noted by Ms. Blake Boyd, items PH1 through PH4. Further discussion on any item? Hearing none. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any opposed? Motion passes unanimously. Excellent job. Anything else for the good of the order, Ms. Blake Boyd?
I don't think so, thanks.
I would not.
Mr. Parnas, the floor is yours, sir, Commissioner.
To my fellow members and to the staff, I want to thank you for your courtesy, your encouragement, and your help in this job. It has been my pleasure to serve on this council, and I'm resigning basically for health reasons and to spend my remaining years more concentrated in Deerfield Beach, where I live. And I've lived there for over 30 years and kind of fell in love with the city and the beach, and I would like to spend my remaining days working full-time in the city. It is difficult for me to resign from this group because you've treated me so well over the years. And just for a technical note, the period that I had resigned from this commission was only because I got elected.
You got elected.
And we can only have one elected official, and our mayor decided to stay on the council for a while. When he resigned to move over to the MPO board, I was reinstated, and happily so, by Mark Bogan, our county commissioner that I serve. So it's with a heavy heart that I leave, because I've come to like all of you and your opinions and your dedication to the county. And with that, I thank you again.
We will miss you, Commissioner, we will miss you. Can't think of a better thing to end the meeting on. We are adjourned.